You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Truck Nation, get into a Chevy now. The truck that always has your back. Receive up to $12,000 off select 2018 trucks only at Lakewood Chev. Our next guest might have... Well, probably not.
This guy, he's a city
he's
boy.
A
look at
he's
this
probably
guy.
Taking a few shots of the head. He doesn't know anything. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. Joins us, Woodley. How you doing?
Good. I was born in Whitehorse, Yukon, boys. Don't go big city on me here.
Oh, Whitehorse. Wow. Now, in Whitehorse, was it light 24 hours a day in Whitehorse?
Okay, now here comes the caveat. We moved out of Whitehorse when I was 6 days old.
So dramatic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was born there. Soft city boy it is. I thought I had you guys there for
exactly.
A second.
Typical goalie.
Yeah, typical. Okay, now, we had the discussion yesterday, but we didn't want to get into it because we're waiting for you because you're the goalie expert. So, people were looking at, Lou Lamoriello options. He'd like a goalie. We've seen what he'd want. Philip Grubauer. When you consider, Corey Schneider, I don't see him in the category of Corey Schneider. I'm not sure I see him in the Freddie Anderson category. But is he closer to what Cam Talbot was when the Oilers acquired him?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair comparison. Just smaller. Kind of plays a pretty controlled game, kind of like Cam. I don't know that he's an acrobat. In other words, if you get him, you better be with the caveat that, you're going to have the rest of your team stop playing every game like it's an all-star game in terms of the defensive structure with the Islanders. He's not Hasek reincarnate. He's not going to be doing backflips. Very much relies on his structure and his technique. And in those ways, probably is similar to Cam. I think another guy that, fits the mold too, guys, that you can... without giving up assets here, beyond paying his salary and whatever contract demands are there, don't sleep on Carter Hutton and the season he had. And I know the Blues are a pretty good defensive team, but, there's a guy that was overlooked, built his game, and is coming off a great season. And, again, UFA this summer. And I think, I wouldn't go as far to say he's a slam dunk, can be a number one. I think when you really break down style and attributes, he's got as many that at least put him in that 1A, real high upside 1B category as Philip Grubauer does.
All right, so that just made Jason Greger's year because he brought up Carter Hutton yesterday, and this is my feeling. And you don't go as much better than I, but here's a 32-year-old guy who's never asserted himself as a first a top goalie. So if you're like the Islanders, and that's how this conversation all started up, if you're bringing him in, are you thinking this is our number one, or you got to bring in a Bernier, and now you have two 1Bs?
Well, I think with a team that defends even half-assedly, you can have that 1B guy in Thomas Greiss. I mean, don't forget, he's still under contract. They locked him up to an extension. And I think in a perfect world, you're trying to find someone to work with him, push him, give yourself a tandem. And I know a lot of people say if you don't have a number one, if you say you have two number one goalies, it means you don't have one. I don't see anybody on this list, and this is no disrespect to Hutton or Grubauer, but I don't see anyone, like you said, there isn't a Freddie Anderson here. There isn't a Corey Schneider here. And so I think you are going to have a second guy on the island, and I'm not sure you don't already have him. Last year was not a great year for Thomas Greiss. Find it interesting that he has started working again with Adam Francilia, who is the off-ice trainer that, you've heard me mention in the past. I've had the opportunity to see his work in Kelowna. Works with Dubnyk, Reimer, was the guy who basically transformed Connor Hellebuyck this summer. And Greiss had gone away from him, and my understanding is they're going to be working together again this summer. So it wasn't a great year last year for Thomas Greiss, but I'm not sure throw the baby out with the bathwater there. I think that you get someone who can push, compliment him, and maybe play more games than him, but I don't think you need to have a 60-70 game guy there in New York, and I don't think you have to go out and acquire a second goalie if you do get a Grubauer or Hutton. I think he can be that sort of 1B.
We're talking all things that relate to goaltenders with our main man, Kevin Woodley, from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Woodley, another interesting situation came up. And again, this is like kind of all circling around the Islanders. You get where we're going. With the Nashville Predators, you got Soros, I believe he needs a deal. Then you got the big guy, Pekka-Rinne, who I believe has 1 year left. How would you work this out with these two guys, moving forward?
Oh, I think UC Saros he's legit. I like so much about his game, and I know he's tiny, right? Like, he's listed, I think, at 5'11". I think 5'10 is probably the max you're getting there. But he's shown that he has what it takes to be a potential number one in this league, and he's kind of one of those guys that, when you really break down how they play, is kind of disproving this whole square footage got to be 6'5". I mean, the irony is, at his stature, he plays less aggressively than Pekka-Rinne did at 6'5". And, you know, in different situations and with less starts and less workload, has at times posted better numbers than Pekka. So I think if you're Nashville, you're looking to start this transition and you use this year to see how it's going to work in terms of Pekka's future. But this year, I think, is a year where, you know, more starts for UC Saros, harder starts, tougher situations, not just giving him the back end of back-to-backs, not just giving him, you know, making sure you're giving him tough teams, kind of like the Canucks did with Schneider, where they kept increasing his workload behind Luongo and giving him key starts. I remember one in Boston, starting to sort of feed him tougher opponents and tougher situations and seeing how he reacted, and basically grooming him into more of that number one role. And I think that transition, you'll start to see more of it this year in Nashville. Beyond the season, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it depends on what Pekka-Rinne wants to do with his future and what kind of season he has. I mean, he's going to win a Vezina Trophy tomorrow night, right? Like, that's pretty much a slam dunk. He is the face of the franchise in Nashville, has been for the longest time. I mean, maybe a guy like PK Subban has taken some of that mantle with his personality, but Peck has been a guy in the community from start to finish. I know that David Poyle's made big, bold moves in the past, but I can't see Pekka being one of them. And so I think they'll keep both of them for the season. And depending on how next year goes, then you have to decide how you're going to transition to Saros. Because make no mistake, he's the guy you're transitioning towards. He's young enough that I think, you know, he's only an RFA. It's not like you lose him entirely. You can come to some type of short-term deal, much like the Capitals have done with Philip Grubauer to keep him there behind and alongside Braden Holtby for the past couple of years, but with the understanding that after this year, the role is going to increase and there'll be more opportunity there. And I think Pekka's play will be one factor to determining beyond this season what happens, but I don't think you can make that call right now, and I don't expect them to.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, are there any goalies you think are poised for breakout years that will get an opportunity or deserve an opportunity on another with their organization?
Oh, yeah, to be honest with you, I think I can answer that question after my first. I mean, even young guys getting opportunities and roles, like a UC Saros, who you know, if there wasn't a Pekka-Rinne there, if they were moving on him, he'd be one of my picks. Seeing what happens with Columbus and Sergei Bobrovsky. Obviously, we had the Panarin news today, but I don't expect Sergei Bobrovsky to re-sign in Columbus either. So if they start to go in more of a rebuild mode, look to the future mode, he could be part of that as well. And UC Korpisalo, Jonas Korpisalo behind him, is a polarizing figure. I'm not sure everyone in Columbus is convinced he's the future. I know some goalie coaches around the league who think his upside is sky high, others who aren't convinced. So he's, you know, there's a guy that could have a huge breakout year if given the opportunity. But I think what happens over the next couple of weeks and through July 1st and with some of the movement we're hearing buzz about around the league will determine who gets that opportunity. Right? It's kind of like Vegas, right? All these guys got opportunities they weren't getting elsewhere once they moved to Vegas, and a lot of them outperformed all the expectations they had elsewhere. It's same with goaltending, except where it's even harder to get opportunities because only one guy gets to play every night. And so I do think you kind of have to see that. You know, I expect there to be, there is every year, a game of musical chairs when it comes to the backups as teams try and figure out 1A, 1B situations. And until you see who's where and where those opportunities might exist, it's kind of hard to predict who's going to have the best, you know, a breakout season, because you don't know who's going to really get that chance.
Kev, any goaltender you like the best heading into the upcoming draft?
Dude, it is a crap. Like, I'm reading some of the reports and some of the, you know, draft. The only thing I can tell you with absolute certainty is that I don't need to worry about it on Friday for the first round, because there's no goalies going in the first round. Beyond that, when you start to take a look at the draft lists, there is the only hint of consistency among sort of the four or five that I've looked at are Jacob Skerrick, Lucas Dostal, the two Czechs, probably being in the top two or three picks. Beyond that, I mean, there are some goalies that are ranked as high as two on some lists and not even in the top 15 on other lists. You know, Alex Gravel, who I had the opportunity to work with at Hockey Canada camp last summer, I saw one list that had him ranked first and other lists where he was as low as ninth. I mean, even among the Canadians, the one consensus is I see less Canadian goaltenders anywhere near the top of lists. But even the order they appear in is wildly all over the map. And so the trends I expect to continue, and you see it with Skarik and Dostal, and then you see it with some of the Russian names. I mean, Mystikov, anywhere from first on Corey Pronman's list to at the bottom of some top 10, top 15 lists. I think you're going to see teams continue to look for more of that raw, still undeveloped skill that we're seeing from Eastern Europe. And they may, and in some cases maybe, you know, costly to do so, like an Olivier Rodrigue, who I think is, he's almost getting knocked on lists because he's so good technically. People worried that that's all he is. And I think that's the one name out of the list of Canadians with Kevin Mandelis and Alex Gravel and some of those guys. He's the one that I think, you know, he's only 6'1", but he's the one I look closest technically to Carter Hart in terms of he's so efficient that he sometimes looks slow. And I'm reading these draft reports, and I see a lot of that. Like, oh, you know, he always beats the pass, but as the play gets faster, he's not going to be able to. And it's and because he's just getting there in time, because he really focuses on puck tracking. He's not anticipating and going early and beating plays. And so they figure the speed, as it increases, is going to cost him. And I look at it like, no, because of the way he tracks, he's beating those passes, and he'll be able to continue to beat those passes as the speed ramps up. So he's the one that I think I've seen him all over the board, but if I were to take a flyer on a Canadian, it would probably be him, and then maybe a Matt Thiessen, who's in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League. Like, he'd only be the second goalie in history to be drafted out of that league. I see him sort of hanging around the end of some top 10, maybe some top 15 lists, and he might be a guy like Colton Point for the Dallas Stars a few years ago that a team takes a flyer on earlier than expected in that maybe fourth, fifth round range. Beyond that, the one I'm really curious to see, we've talked about size before, guys, about height, right? And we are, I think, the 6'6", 6'7", guy, we're starting to see some teams discover that's too big, that it's too hard to move laterally and close those giant holes as the pace picks up east to west. So I think you'll see more teams content at 6'2", and hoping for 6'3", 6'4". Probably still too many teams overlooking 6'1", and 6'. But I want to see how many people, as I've talked to goalie coach the last couple of years about this, are paying attention to width and broad shoulders and physical attributes beyond height. Because the new rules that came out in terms of the chest protector, they didn't get the 3 points of measurement across the shoulders, but they got two. I don't think it went as far as they would have liked, but it went far enough that we really should start to see the frame of the goaltender match the size of the goaltender's frame. Like, everything is going to... we think of that famous picture from Canucks preseason introductory pressers last year where Anders Nilsson and Jacob Markstrom were both listed at 6'6", but they sat next to each other, and you could almost fit two Jacob Markstroms inside Anders Nilsson from a width perspective across the shoulders. But when they put their gear on, they look the same. That shouldn't be the case moving forward. And so these slight sort of narrow-shouldered goaltenders, to me, if I'm a scout and I'm a team that knows what's coming in terms of equipment and think that's going to be significant, that might affect where I pick a guy if he's got those tiny little shoulders versus like an Alex Gravel, who's a little broader and sort of barrel-chested and big across the shoulders. midfielders, those types of guys, long-limbed, might become more attractive as the gear gets cut down, and teams might start to pay attention to that as much as they do square footage top to bottom in a height measurement.